Welcome to another edition of Raging Chicken Radio's Out to Coop podcast. It is May 3rd and it is Indiana primary day, folks. Huge day, both in the Republican and Democratic campaigns. So for Out the Coop podcast, for those tuning in for the first time, each week we check in with our Capitol correspondent, Sean Kitchen, on the good, the bad, and the ugly that is Harrisburg, PA. We're now on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We are on Google Play Music, and we are on Podbean, folks. This podcast is going everywhere. So subscribe to the podcast and give us a feedback. And I really want to put a plug in for that. Look, we've got a number of people that are tuning in, that are kind of listening. Please make sure that you just leave us some feedback, right? That you like it, that you subscribe to it. Even if you can't listen to it every single day, subscribe to the podcast and it gets us up in the rankings and gets this podcast out to more people. We really, really appreciate your help. Raging Chicken Radio is a project of Raging Chicken Press. My name is Kevin Mahoney. I am the editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. And check out all our citizen journalism at RagingChickenPress.org. And if you like what you see there, if you like this podcast, well, you click on the support and membership tab at the top of the page, you become a member for as little as $5 a month. And now with this podcast too, as well, being on Podbean, we're also going to have a kind of a membership type sponsorship through Podbean too as well. We'll have some gifts for you too as well. So if you become a member, you get some stuff. That's kind of pretty cool. Also, if you are interested in contributing to Raging Chicken Press, if you are an aspiring citizen journalist, just drop us an email at ragingchickenpress@gmail.com or send us a direct message on Twitter. We're at RC Press on Twitter. We began Raging Chicken Press almost 5 years ago to provide a platform for homegrown progressive citizen journalism and media activism. So if you've got something to say, if you just want to learn how to do this work, drop us an email at ragingchickenpress@gmail.com and let's get started. So before we get into a lot of the details today, I'd like to kind of say thank you to Marlena Eck over at Lehigh Valley Vanguard. She had me on Sunday night. I was part of a panel with Max Vasquez, Rizzo Mertz, and Michael Fresetto, and we're talking about May Day, right? It was May 1st, so we're actually talking about May Day, some of the histories of May Day. But most importantly, I think what was great about that conversation is we're talking about the struggles looking forward and the need to get back to some real kind of direct action labor organizing and community organizing and expanding what we understand to be the struggles for the 21st century. So go check them out at the Lehigh Valley Vanguard Live. We'll include a link in the show notes today and on the site when this goes up. But today on Indiana primary day, we'll talk a little about that in our second segment here. But first off, I really want to kind of get into, and Sean and I were kind of been batting this around for a couple of days, been telling me about this story that's going to be coming out of the Pennsylvania primary. Welcome, Sean. How you doing out there?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, you know, I'm hanging in there. You know, it's Tuesday. It's rainy. It's Pennsylvania. You know, here we are.
Yep. We're in the rainy season now of spring.
Yeah, the radius. Yeah, that's exactly what it seems like. Apparently, it's going to be like this all week. So, hey, let me kind of like lay this ground for you. So, you got this piece that's going up on Raging Chicken Press today, and it's about Katie McGinty. And just to set the context for everybody out there, if everybody knows, Katie McGinty won the Democratic nomination for the Pennsylvania State Senator in last week's Pennsylvania Democratic primary. And here you have Sean Kitchen starting off this piece, and I just want to read it to everybody for context. So in the 2014, this is directly from the article, quote, in the 2014 gubernatorial primary, Katie McGinty came under scrutiny for $120,000 in campaign contributions from coal company owner Ray Bologna Sr., After reviewing McGinty's federal campaign finance reports, Ray Bologna Sr. and his family donated $21,600 to McGinty's Senate campaign. State Impact NPR reported that in 2005, Katie McGinty, then Department of Environmental Protection Secretary under Governor Ed Rendell, played an important role in expediting a permit for coal waste or coke power plant owned by Ray Bologna Sr. So that is part of a little bit of the context. So, Sean, you know, what has this got to do with the price of tea in China? I mean, why this article on McGuinty now? What's going on?
Well, you know, Katie McGuinty has stated in the past she does not believe that money influences politics. We heard her say that live at the Keystone Progressive Summit 2 years ago during a gubernatorial primary debate. And here we have it in 2014, as she was saying that, or during that time, she received $120,000 from Ray Bologna Sr. out of Western Pennsylvania. He owns a bunch of power plants, or he's a coal company owner, a bunch of little coal companies in his little fiefdom out in like Washington County. And in 2005, as she was Department of Environmental Protection Secretary, there's communications going back and forth between her and her field offices on getting this permit expedited. And also a state senator from that area, Democratic state senator Barry Stout, was also involved in this, and he was pleased that this project was getting permitted. And this happened just as the EPA was implementing stricter air quality regulations. So she tried to get this in through before the EPA's implementation of stricter air quality standards in 2005.
So basically, so you've got McGuinty, you know, and you've reported on this before. McGuinty's connection with the natural gas industry is pretty tight. And actually, I was looking back over some of the statements that she made and some of the arguments from even the PA Progressive Summit debate from during the gubernatorial race, was that she was basically looking at natural gas as really being the economic driver for job creation. And she put that at the center of her campaign, and she seemed to change her tone a little bit now. So what do you see as the impact of this reporting that you're doing now?
Well, it shows you how the natural gas industry and fossil fuels are influencing her campaign. Her campaign manager at the time in 2014 was Mike Mikus. And Mike Mikus then after that went on to remember President or Governor Wolf started his Fresh Start campaign pack. Mm-hmm. He was the head of the that political action committee under governor for Governor Wolf's team, you know, his establishment or his like his bench essentially. Mm-hmm. And then from there, Mikus is Katie McGuinty's Senate campaign director. Before he became his time in politics, he was working in a bunch of environmental positions, and he was a lobbyist or a director for a front group supporting natural gas in Western Pennsylvania in the Johnstown area.
So basically what we're seeing here then is that
you're seeing a continuation of her connection to the gas industry and to the fossil fuels industry. And we still have a candidate who does not believe that money influences politics.
Well, I mean, she's not thinking money influences politics, right? Another way, because, you know, one of the things that always gets tricky about that discussion, right? We see this at the presidential level too as well, when Bernie Sanders talking about money and politics and so on, and Hillary Clinton saying, I've never been influenced. And, you know, there's been those folks that say, look, if the issue is not about like tit for tat, right? It's not about, quid pro quo, where you're saying, okay, here's the money. Now you're going to get this permit, right? And it's going to one for another, but rather that.
But you can see these are the
people. What that, or even more so, it tells you a little about these are the people that are in the room to begin with, right? Yeah. Is that the money is going to these candidates from these companies, not simply so they can buy one particular thing. It's because they believe that this is the person that is most likely going to support their agenda. And what you've kind of shown in this, you know, in this report, we kind of going back, remind us a little about the past campaign and making these connections to what's happening now in the McGuinty campaign, is that those people are still in the room, right? Yes, and that money is still coming in.
Yes, and out of the three Democratic Senate primary candidates, McGuinty was the only one not to take a stand on natural gas development or take a stand on some sort of ban or moratorium on gas drilling after we have seen some of the pollution that has happened.
Right. She seems to be trying to do that same kind of sidestep that Hillary Clinton was doing in the campaign, which is, you know, after all the regulations that I'm going to require them to do it, you know, only safe fracking will happen. And that if local communities want to ban it, well, then they can do it. It's a nice little skirt around that issue about whether we should be moving in fracking. And if you look at, you know, people like, you know, Naomi Klein, for example, her like absolutely, you know, phenomenal book, This Changes Everything. And she's pointed out in interview after interview since then. Bill McKibben has also come out and talked about this too, as well as basically saying, look, we don't have time for transition fuels, right? We don't have time for this whole, you know, that was something, you know, maybe like 8 years ago that people were kind of thinking was, hey, this is a nice little bridge where we can still take money from the oil industry, but try to move towards a clean future. But we're seeing with fracking is that's not the case at all, because the kind of expenditure of you know, the carbon emissions that come from the process itself is off the charts. So even by giving us that little bit of the leeway and say, hey, you know, look, we're gonna put regulations on it, that doesn't seem to be enough. And yet she's trying to skirt that issue again.
Exactly. And it's gonna be interesting. Later on in the week, I'll have more coming out on McGinty's relationship to the natural gas and the fossil fuels industry. And it's something that we should be concerned about. I mean, we're sending, she's the best, you know, in the eyes of Pennsylvania Democrats, she was the best choice. And we have to hold her, we have to push her on that.
No. Yeah, I think this is, we're coming up to a break, but maybe after the break, we want to get into a little bit about the Indiana primary and the campaigns and stuff. But after the break, maybe we can start off with talking a little bit about, you know, the pressure that a lot of folks on the left are coming under right now, or liberals or whatever, Democrats, who people who voted in the Democratic primaries, basically, you know, to, you know, bring the party together and not talk bad about people like McGinty or something like that. But I think a lot of the claims that you're making in this report, and by shining a light on some of the things that you're doing and others are doing about McGinty's relationship with the natural gas industry or big oil and that kind of thing, is being seen by some kind of Democratic insiders as, you know, being negative and hurting her chances. But when we come back after the break, we'll talk a little bit about why do this, right? Why do you want to keep the pressure on? So this is Raging Chicken Radio's Out to Coop podcast. I'm here with Sean Kitchen once again today. It is May 3rd. And when we come back from the break, we'll get right into the Indiana primary and thinking a little bit about why do you want to hold Democrats' feet to the fire? This is Raging Chicken Radio, Out to Coop.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1886. A little after 3 o'clock on that Monday in Chicago, radical labor activist and newspaper man August Spies climbed onto a boxcar to give a speech about the fight for the 8-hour day. For weeks, he had been giving speeches all over the city in the ramp-up for the large May Day strike and rallies. Despite being exhausted, he agreed to address the crowd of German and Bohemian lumber shovers. Very near the rally where Spies spoke stood the McCormick Reaper Works. The McCormick workers had been at the heart of labor struggles in the city. 1,500 workers had been locked out of the McCormick plant over a dispute about wages. Tensions ran high as the company brought in scab labor to replace the locked out workers. Approximately 200 striking McCormick workers picketed outside the plant. As Spies gave his speech to the lumber shovers, the shift bell at McCormick sounded, marking the end of the workday. As the scabs exited the building, the angry locked-out workers swarmed around them. Suddenly, shots rang out from the direction of the McCormick plant. Spies climbed off his boxcar and ran to the plant to see what happened. There, he found 200 police officers shooting at the strikers and beating them with clubs. In all, the police killed 4 strikers and wounded many more. Outraged, August Spies ran back to his newspaper office, where he drafted a circular that urged working men to retaliate for the police violence. He began to plan for a rally for the next day at Haymarket Square, in what would become one of the most significant events in the global labor movement and history. Labor History in Two, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at laborhistoryin2.
Welcome back to Raging Chicken Radio's Out to Coop podcast. My name is Kevin Mahoney. I am the editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press, and I'm here once again with Sean Kitchen. Sean Kitchen is our Capitol correspondent and assistant editor. right before the break, we were talking a little about Katie McGinty's campaign. I mean, Katie McGinty won the Pennsylvania primary, Democratic primary, just this past week. Both of us, we've basically been pretty clear about, you know, both of us were supporters of John Fetterman, which, you know, the SESTAC people don't like that too much because, okay, they're crying nader on us, but whatever, you know, that is what it is. You know, we're looking at the future of the party. So Sean, let me ask you this. So this is, you know, this is common. This is not specific to this race or whatever. But there's all these calls after a primary campaign. There's all these calls from parties, and we'll kind of focus on the Democratic Party right now. They're going to say, now it's time to unify the party. And then there's a increased pressure to, especially from progressive journalists or people on the progressive side of things, to not criticize the campaign or the candidate who's been elected or nominated, at least received the nomination. So I'm sure people are going to look at your report. They're going to look at you drawing attention to Katie McGinty's ties to the natural gas industry. They're taking money, raising that issue about money in politics all over again. And they're going to say, stop it. You know, you're hurting Katie's chances of getting elected. Yet you don't see it quite that way, or you don't see that as at least the role of kind of what you're doing here. So talk to us a little bit. How do you respond to those folks that are going to say that, you know, you're hurting Katie McGinty's chances?
Tough shit. It's tough shit. I mean, like, our philosophy is to try to get the most out of the candidate we can, and it does not stop after Pennsylvania primary day. It should be noted that we should be pushing her on these issues. Mm-hmm. She was the only candidate not to take a stand against Marcella Shale in the Democratic primary. And now, you know, I'm really surprised no one's really looked into her campaign finance reports, because it's really actually just pretty simple. You go on the website, but it's also, and you type in her name and boom, there's like 20, 30 pages in. There are the campaign donations from Ray Bologna Sr. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really easy to use Excel and Control Find. You know, and just type in someone's name and boom, they pop up.
You mean you don't need like a degree in kind of forensic kind of reporting in order to find this stuff?
No, you do not. But and the second point is this continues the reporting that happened in 2014. Mm-hmm. And people should be made aware, hey, this happened in 2014 and it's still happening in 2016. How come they're not answering for it?
Yeah. And how, you know, looks and, you know, look, and you've got all the, you know, the big money and the big party support to kind of threw in behind Katie McGinty too, as well, which again goes right to showing that, you know, look, these ties to kind of big oil, natural gas, the kind of carbon industry. You know, this is not something that is just on the Republican side of things. I mean, if you were, you know, I look at, you know, if we're going to be accountable, one, to what's actually going on out there. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, everybody who reads Raging Chicken Press knows certainly that, you know, we're a progressive, activist-oriented, you know, site. But that doesn't mean that you come around election time, you come shills for the Democratic Party. It means that, you know, you're kind of coming at it with an angle of kind of really seeing what's going on. And, you know, ultimately, I think on this question of, the fossil fuel industry, you got to be on the side of the planet, you know? And if the fact is that we've got a Democrat who's receiving fossil fuel money, right, that's got to be exposed, not so that we kind of all kind of whine and cry and say there's not a perfect candidate, so therefore we go home, you know, and kick our feet and don't vote, but rather than use that as yet another organizing opportunity to kind of push that candidate forward.
And like Katie McGinty has a track record going back to the 1990s, right, of supporting and doing these type of things for natural gas companies or for coal companies. I think one of the first reporting was from Salon.com, Jack Tapper, mm-hmm. or Tapper. And mm-hmm. you know where he's at right now? No. CNN?
Jake Tapper, whatever. Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, he's like one of the only hard-hitting reporters on CNN by their standards. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he in 2001 eviscerated Katie McGinty for being someone as incompetent and fast-tracking a very serious incinerator permit in Ohio that Drew Gibson has actually wrote about, mm-hmm. for the Raging Chicken and for his blog and for his blog. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she has a history of this. I mean, the reporting just doesn't stop because the primaries are over.
So let me ask you this then. So, I mean, how is it that McGinty makes her case then? I mean, how does she make her case that she is this environmentalist, so that she is that she's going to defend this? If we're seeing the kind of ties in the history does she have some, like, you know, come to Jesus of the Woods moment or something?
No, I don't think so. But I think she's the establishment candidate. She's getting backed by establishment Democratic organizations. Sierra Club, League of Conservation Voters, all these major environmental organizations.
Governor Wolf, for that matter, right?
Yeah, Governor Wolf. I mean, but it's you know, what Bernie Sanders had during the primary about calling out the establishment, you know, political organizations. Mm-hmm. Like, well, look at the establishment environmental organization, Sierra Club. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the local level, they do great work. But nationally, these organizations are picking the safest candidate instead of the best candidate. And, you know, like, you have all these donations from the natural gas and fossil fuels industry, coupled with all these organizations from the Sierra Club, League of Conservation Voters, and other sort of environmental groups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you know, they're supposed to be advocating for the planet. And it's like, why is this happening?
Well, you know, and again, you know, not to, you know, beat a dead polar bear, so to speak, but, you know, Naomi Klein, this is exactly what she's arguing again in This Changes Everything, right? About the kind of big green organizations trying to, in a sense, play these kind of politics, right? To try to find somebody who's better than the other one, when really we, at this point, we need to be kind of throwing in big time to kind of stop any additional fossil fuel production, right? You know, the whole leave it in the ground movement is kind of, I think, really important. So, I mean, I on that idea about kind of, you know, big money, big politics, and all that kind of stuff, today is the Indiana primary. It looks like this is going to be, you know, really big decision day, because, I mean, you know, if Clinton takes Indiana today, that makes it even more difficult for even Sanders campaign to make a case at all that they can kind of win the nomination. Although she's not going to be in Indiana tonight, she's going to be in Ohio, and there's some kind of internal reporting that's suggesting that that they think they might lose Indiana. So that's going to be interesting to watch. But on the other side, holy cow.
We have reached peak crazy.
My God. So what do you think is going to happen? You think Trump's going to take Indiana tonight?
Oh, I think he's going to blow it out. But one of the best things I saw over the weekend was, there's a few good videos of Ted Cruz and Carly Fiorina, but I didn't get to see them. I saw the one where Ted Cruz is standing right up to the Trump supporter and saying, "We are not building that wall." Like, what does it mean when Ted Cruz is the voice of sanity, the voice of reason in the Republican Party?
He's not,
but he just delivered like a truth bomb. He should just drop the mic and walk off stage after that. I mean, he dropped a truth bomb on that guy, and they're like, "We're building that wall. God damn it."
Well, I tell you, the funniest thing about that video is that, you know, Cruz has got this style. He was a litigator, right? So he asked these kind of rhetorical questions, right? The best thing about some of the video of his confronting the Trump supporters is he'd ask a rhetorical question, right? And wait, and then he was getting ready to follow up, but the Trump supporters would answer it in a way, you know, like, "I've been respectful, you know, I want to ask you a question." And they're like, "We don't want you here." You know, like, you know, it was the funniest back and forth I have seen. And then, you know, the Carly Fiorina thing is just, it's becoming a comedy of errors. I mean, there's like, you know, the viral video of the GIF of them trying to raise their hands next to one another is kind of like doing this kind of, I don't know, kind of weird hand jive crap.
Something,
like
something like couples would do.
Oh my God. Couples who don't like each other, right? You know, like, couples who are just kind of out there putting a show up like for the cameras where really they can't stand each other. That's what it looked like. And then, like, easily later that day or the next day, she falls off the stage. Right? I mean, you know, I mean, this is, you know, if and that's not a metaphor for what's going on, it's crazy. Was that?
Yeah, and then he just keeps on shaking hands, like,
just like, you know, if thank God that there was like people that caught her, because, you know, he's just oblivious. It's just, that is something else. And if you look at the look, one of my favorite things, you look at Ted Cruz's wife's face when she sees Fiorina go, right? It's just like, she's like, "Oh my God." Like, this, like, this is like horror. You can see at that moment she's like, "This is the campaign," you know, falling off the stage.
No, like, the one thing is, this is the best reality TV show money can buy. I mean, it really is. It's something I look forward to every 4 years. I mean, that's the next step. Someone's going to actually do an actual reality TV show, and just avoids like following the Trump campaign around or something like that. I mean, like prime time, half an hour every Wednesday night on ABC or NBC. Boom, just do it. Like, just at this point.
Well, I'm looking at it like this. I mean, like, if the Republic, I mean, look, there are Republicans now, like some strategists, and, you know, there's, you know, I've seen this increasingly coming out, and they're voicing this publicly now, that I'm forgetting her last name. It's like Hare or Her, but there was a woman talking about this last night on Lawrence O'Donnell show. And she's basically saying, like, look, you know, this, everything's going off the rails, right? And then, and she was, you know, had no kind words for Trump whatsoever. And they was basically fully expected that this is going to tank the Republicans in this election, and they're going to lose big. But, you know, I'm almost thinking, like, unless they get their head around that next time around, I say, like, forget Republican Party stuff. Like, just team up with MTV, have open auditions, right? For, you know, who's the best people to get on this reality TV show, and do it that way. Because this is, you know, this is insane. And I'll tell you, next time around, if they pull this garbage again, I don't think we should be footing the bill for this, right? Footing the bill for, you know, forget what the primary in Pennsylvania costs, something $1 million, something like this, or across the country, to, you know, $20 million, I think is a number that I heard, to kind of run these primaries. And it's just taxpayer funded stuff. And these are private political parties. So, you know, do it on your own dime, free marketeers. You know, that's all I got to say. Anyways, we're coming up right to a break. And after the break, we're going to come back with some kind of closing thoughts on the day. You know, it's just Indiana primary is just going to be crazy. I'm just looking forward to it. This is Kevin Mahoney. This is Out the Coop Podcast. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Raging Chicken Radio's Out the Coop Podcast. I'm Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken Press. And I'm here once again with Sean Kitchen, our Capitol correspondent, Capitol as in Harrisburg, PA. So we'll do a couple little things to kind of close things out today. It's like, number one, I want to kind of, you know, put a plug in once again, is that we have this podcast now is up on Podbean. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google Play Music. That's kind of our newest addition. What I really encourage anybody, if you like what you're hearing, right, you like this back and forth, you want to see this podcast grow, make sure that you subscribe to those at any one of those sites. And, you know, please like it. Give us share it on Facebook. Share it on Twitter. And leave us a comment most of the month. You leave us a comment, you like it on those things, it puts us up in the ratings and helps get this podcast out to a broader audience. We really appreciate your help. And I also want to, you know, I was really thrilled. I don't know how many of you saw this, but last week I did a Facebook Live video, and we're going to be making more use of that on our Facebook page. I did a Facebook page, Facebook Live video, talking about some of the things that we have planned for the podcast coming up. And one of them in particular is, you know, to set up these different segments that we add on to this one. So we have, you know, Out the Coop with Sean is really going to be the core of the podcast at this point. But we'd like to kind of add in like a second half an hour each week, right? So something different each week. And some of the, we'd like to have a focus on one of those segments. The ideas that we had was on craft beer in Pennsylvania. Not the kind of, you know, just the snobbish garbage that you get in a lot of craft beer circles, but really focused on the industry and, you know, kind of how a lot of what you see with craft beer is that, you know, drawing from local ingredients, commitments to sustainability, and increasingly kind of a focus on the kind of labor conditions that are around that, right? Kind of mimicking what you saw in the slow food movement, right? At the early part of the 21st century, late 20th century, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's cool. Also having a segment called The Sit Down, which will kind of talk to Pennsylvania public intellectuals, particularly those folks at the Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education universities, but PA universities more generally, who are looking at some of the history of progressive activism in this state, looking at some of the histories of labor in the state, talking about the politics and the theories behind progressive change, and trying to shine a light on the amazing work that's already going on here, and to kind of add another dimension here. We've got a bunch of other things planned too as well. What's been great about the Facebook Live thing is we've been getting some feedback. We already got like 3, 4, 5, 6 emails from people with different ideas saying that they're expressing interest in wanting to come on the podcast, maybe kind of write for Raging Chicken Press too as well. So that's been pretty good. So, you know, thanks you all. And then you're going to see another plug for this on Facebook Live too as well. So please leave us comments and join in. And if you want to write for Raging Chicken Press. So, like, I will help you out with that, right? Sean is a great resource too as well, and we'll help you get started in doing some fantastic investigative, kind of hard-hitting citizen media. So just email us at ragingchickenpress@gmail.com, and we'll help you get started. So, Sean, I'm just curious about, you know, how you're thinking about the future of the podcast and what you'd like to see kind of in the weeks and months ahead.
No, I think it's I think it's going to be pretty fun. You know, we're hitting our stride here. This is actually like something we've been talking about again for a few years. And, you know, I think a couple of years ago I had that like Raging Chicken interviews type of thing going on where we were interviewing some people for a half an hour, 45 minutes at a time. And I think it's really cool bringing that in and the potential that that has. I mean, we can get in contact with people from, say, like down south or across the country and put that into a short, like, little podcast and talk about the environmental issues happening in the local level, say in California or Arkansas, where oil spills happen, or, you know, talk to Steve Horn again about like he's like the fracking resource and bring that into what's happening in Pennsylvania politics. You know, I think we have the opportunity to bring that type of reporting into it, like more of like a local, something that's entertaining, but also talks about you bringing these folks, activists, or writers to talk about on like a local scale.
I agree. You know, and I think that one of the things, and you make me think, you know, I should also say there's folks out there, there's an issue that's happening in your community or so on, shoot us a line, right? I mean, we'd love to write about stuff that's happening in the community, especially the activist work that's going on or some major corruption scandal, that kind of stuff. We'd love to be to kind of dig into some of that stuff on Raging Chicken Press, but then also maybe even bring folks onto the podcast to expand that. And one of the things that too as well that we hope to do in the weeks and months down the road is kind of further build out our connections with some other outlets. So for example, you know, Rick Smith Show has kind of amazing stuff on, kind of labor focused stuff on, and we'd love to, you know, keep on plugging those folks. Lehigh Valley Vanguard, right? Marlena Eck, both the publication and the Lehigh Valley Vanguard Live, which is a kind of bi-weekly show up on YouTube. This is just really, really great work that's going on, and we want to kind of strengthen that kind of network to really build that progressive media infrastructure. So Sean, you know, I agree. I think we're, you know, hitting a stride. It's been feeling good. It's been a lot of fun. And, I really hope that, folks will, you know, do exactly what I was saying before, you know, please, like us on Facebook, share this podcast, leave us a review, subscribe to it so we can get up there up in the ratings and help us even further. And like I say too, as well as, you know, if you can, you really like what we're doing here, you like what we're doing, Raging Chicken Press, go to the support and membership tab at ragingchickenpress.org, and click on that. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. And I can't tell you how much that hates us, that helps us out. And, you know, frankly, we're going to be needing some kind of technological upgrades coming pretty soon if we want to expand this podcast. We're probably going to need a little bit more server space and that kind of stuff. And really, the ultimate goal is really wanting to kind of support like people like Sean and other folks that write for Raging Chicken Press in a real material way. So I'm looking forward to this every single week, Sean. This is like one of the highlights of my weeks.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I enjoy doing it. We can have nice like little conversational pieces, but also keep it like nice and relaxed at the same time.
Absolutely. All right. So that's going to do it for the May 3rd edition of Out to Coop Podcast. This is the project of Raging Chicken Press. Raging Chicken Radio's Out to Coop Podcast. So we'll be back next week. And who knows what craziness we're going to find then. All right. Until then, this is Kevin Mahoney signing out.